God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Just a few minutes. I'm going to take you through a conversation I had with a friend of mine who happens to write my favorite Substack. It's chrisbray.substack.com. It begins with a plastic bag, and it ends with the California fires. The straight line from that plastic bag, which is wrapped around a crosswalk button for the lights on the crosswalk, those lit crosswalks, that plastic bag is the beginning of the California fires. It's also the beginning of the California thefts, the series of rapes, the increased crime on all sectors begins with the plastic bag. You'll hear that with Chris Bray in just a moment. I wanted to begin today in a non-traditional way. We've seen the confirmation hearings. We see Marco Rubio. We saw Pam Bondi, very, very spicy, as they say, in her responses to the Senate's gotcha questions. We watched some hysterical Democratic women screaming at Pete Hegseth. We saw Pete Hegseth, I thought, do a decent job, though I don't think expressing any remorse, really, for how he has, frankly, to be fair, defiled two marriages. Saddens me. But then again, Washington, D.C. is used to that. That's part and parcel of D.C. I think he's going to be a great Secretary of Defense, incidentally. Fully endorse that. I hope the Lord Jesus has worked in his life for this third marriage. But I wanted to begin somewhere else. It's with an email I got after yesterday's program from Louisa, who did not say from what city. "Dear Todd, I had to pull over to the side of the road and begin crying when listening to A Disciple's View today. You were talking about the preborn campaign. I was 17 years old when my mother told me she would take me to the abortion clinic. I'd had sex as a teenager about four times. I don't know which time I got pregnant, but it happened. I remember when I missed my first period, I tried to convince myself it wasn't happening. When I missed my second, I tried to convince myself that it would just go away. It didn't. I finally told my mom. She made the decision to hide it from my dad. I don't sponsor that, but that's what she decided. She drove me in her car downtown and then stopped at what I thought was the abortion clinic. It was a pregnancy crisis center. I was too distraught emotionally to really understand the difference. When I went in, they were so kind. They had my name and my appointment. It didn't even occur to me that there were crosses on the walls. I was so afraid. They took me into a room and showed me an ultrasound of my child. And I began weeping, saying, I can't do this. And the nurse said, you can't do what? I can't go through with this abortion. And the nurse looked at my mom knowingly and said, we're proud of you. My son is now 3 years old. I cannot imagine life without him. When we drove home from the pregnancy crisis center, after I'd had my ultrasound, my mother said, we need to sit down and tell your father. She wanted to wait until I'd chosen life. She told me later, had I not made that decision, she would have sat me down with my father and given him a chance to try to talk me into choosing life. I hope that people will give to preborn. If I had more money, I would. God bless you and your program. Louisa. Louisa, thank you for the note. Thank you for choosing life. This is the last day of our campaign this week For $28, you can provide one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound that doubles the chance that her baby will live. Call 877-616-2396 to make that happen. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life, doubling the chance that the baby will live. Call 877-616-2396. If this has been a year of plenty for you, if the Lord has provided finance in plenty, and you can give $5,000, and you know who you are, there are people listening to this for whom $5,000 is nothing. Call 877-616-2396. That $5,000 gift will sponsor ultrasounds for the entire preborn network of clinics for one day through the Lord and what he gave you to steward. You can save 200 babies today. And if you can make it $25,000, all the better. It's 877-616-2396. Please do that today. Please honor what God has given you. I told you at the beginning of the show, it begins with a plastic bag. It does. Let's start right off with a picture of a plastic bag covering a button on a lit crosswalk, because this begins the tale of how you've been warning people about what happens with performative politics.
Yeah, so I live in a city. I live in a little suburban town called South Pasadena, 3.4 square mile town. Remember the size of the town, 3.4 square miles. About 27,000 people, that for years has been deeply engaged in the world. We have a climate action plan to fix the climate of war. When we debated our resolution condemning Vladimir Putin for invading Ukraine, you know, the city council sent it back to staff several times to rework it to make sure the resolution was properly worded so that the South Pasadena City Council firmly rebuked Vladimir Putin. We had a resolution against bigotry in November of 2016 for some reason, and on and on and on. You know, we debated a ceasefire resolution in Gaza. And all the time we've been doing this, things have been breaking in the city, and one of them is the city, you know, a long time ago put in flashing crosswalk lights at crosswalks near things like schools and the library. And a few years ago, they started breaking. And when they started breaking, they put bags over the buttons that said out of service, so that people wouldn't mistakenly think that they could use the flashing lights in the crosswalk and cross. And then once they put the bags on that said, oh, yeah, this is broken. That's just what they did.
The thing and breaks and it can't be fixed.
It can't be fixed. There are these orange bags over all of these buttons that have faded, because they've just been sitting there for years. And I see that all over the city. I see that in the streets. We have a bridge that cracked years ago, a concrete bridge. It's a pedestrian bridge, an old historical pedestrian bridge. And they put signs at the entrance to the bridge that say, bridges closed, unsafe conditions. That was 2 years ago. And there the signs sit. They're not going to fix the bridge. They're not going to do the safety assessment of the bridge that they said they would do. So we're very, very busy. You know, the mayor of Los Angeles was in Ghana as the fire started.
Yes.
Doing cultural outreach. The mayor of my city, my 3.4 square mile suburban city, several years ago did a jazz outreach trip. She led a city delegation to New Orleans to research the French Quarter. We do that stuff, but when things break, nobody notices, nobody fixes them, nobody does anything about them. I have a street sign near my house that points one way is Raymond Hill and the other way is Columbia Street. And years ago it faded so that it doesn't really say anything anymore. It's a green sign with sort of what used to be the outline of letters. And if you squint at it really hard, you can make it out. But nobody's ever going to replace that sign. It's just going to sit there blank. And it's look upon my works, ye mighty, in despair. It's the poem about the statue in the desert surrounded by nothing. We don't fix anything. We don't do anything, but we're very, very deeply involved in Gaza.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you are, because that's really helped over there. And Adam Schiff, you're fine now. What senator? He had an update, Chris. I don't know if you've heard this yet. I'll share this with you in a second. Chris Bray's with us. There's a link to his Substack. I pay to read Chris's writing, and I gladly do it. And I would recommend you do it as well. It's just absolutely filled with wisdom. I use a product called Wisdom. It's a biblically based herbal blend. And I'm thrilled to tell you that my 20-year-old daughter loves this stuff. And I'm 57 and I love this stuff. It gives me a sense of calm. I know it's helping my immune system. I know it helps me with calmness and awareness, helps harness inflammation on your side. And it came about because Dr. Patrick Gentempo, who does a podcast called Christ Revealed, was walking through the Holy Land, smelling all these spices, reading about them in the Bible in almost a sacred way. Just this morning, I was reading David again about hyssop and being made pure with that. So he created this blend, applied scientific rigor. It is made in cold brew processing, small batches, and they lock in the potency with sound waves and light waves. And I take this stuff straight. Fantastic taste. My daughter puts it in her coffee throughout the day, and she has anxiety sometimes. So coffee's great for her, but not always. This gives her the coffee lift without the jagged edge. You can get this now. Go try Wisdom. Trywisdomnow.com/Todd. That's trywisdomnow.com/Todd. You will get 33% off, free shipping, and 180-day money back guarantee. That's trywisdomnow.com/Todd. You may have seen this, Chris Bray, but your fine senator, Adam Schiff, who may well read your Substack and shudder in fear, he has come out and said that the reservoirs were in fact full. That it is apparently some. No, he did. He's on record this weekend on TV saying that the reservoirs were in fact full, and your governor Newsom has said that in fact he didn't cut the budget. That never happened for firefighting. So let's go through this bit by bit by bit, from the bridge to the bag to the reservoir, which I heard you say, and I've never known you to spread this information, that it in fact was not full.
Yeah. And as people started saying, oh, that's a lie, the reservoir was full. Let's establish the context, which is that when the fire started burning in the Palisades, there are three water tanks in the Palisades with 1 million gallons each. And those had water in them. The firefighters had 3 million gallons of water. There's a reservoir right in the middle of Pacific Palisades that can hold 117 million gallons of water. And it broke. There's debate about this, but the city has acknowledged that it broke at least a year ago, that the cover of it broke, so they drained it to fix the cover, and they haven't fixed the cover, and they don't know when they're going to fix the cover, and they don't know exactly what's going on with it. Nobody can really say what it means, but that was empty when the fire was burning. So the firefighters ran out of water as the fire got bigger and people were turning on their garden hoses to put water on their houses. Pacific Palisades ran out of water, and then it burned. And the city is saying, the city said for a while, oh, it's not true. That's disinformation, that the reservoir was empty. And then they acknowledged that the reservoir was empty. And journalists started walking. There's a guy from FT, Financial Times, who walked to the reservoir and looked at it and said, it is empty. Here's a picture of it. So there's all of this debate about whether or not that would have mattered.
Whether 117 million gallons or even half of it or 10% of it would have mattered? This is debatable?
Would 117 million gallons of water have mattered in a place where firefighters ran out of water while it was burning? You know, it's a really obscure point. Who can say water helps put out fire? There's a billionaire. There's a guy named Rick Caruso who has built a bunch of shopping malls in Los Angeles, and he owns a shopping mall in Pacific Palisades. And when the fire started burning, he started calling for water trucks, and he has private firefighters under contract. People started waking up and saying they're very, very angry that the billionaire saved his property. But what the billionaire did is, when a fire started, he got some water.
I want you to hear more from Chris Bray, my favorite Substack writer, chrisbray.substack.com, talking about all the warning signs. So much about the focus of these city councils, these tiny little governments, even the big governments like Los Angeles and their city council, their mayor, how their focus on performative politics made this whole catastrophe completely predictable. We'll come back on The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get back to this discussion. It's my friend Chris Bray, the writer of my favorite Substack. It's chrisbray.substack.com. Hey, there's a reminder. It's Friday. We've been behind in saving babies' lives. You have an opportunity this week to get in the hands of a woman who's considering an abortion. You have the opportunity to present her with a free ultrasound. What we found out is that when people see these free ultrasounds, about 80% of women change their minds. They've been doing this since 2007. They work with pregnancy crisis clinics. And the chance of a baby's life when they see this ultrasound, it's doubled. Pardon me, it's not 80%, it's doubled. The chance of these kids these kids to be born. You have an opportunity for an interruption. A woman who thinks there's only one way, and this is the potency, I think, of them seeing the ultrasound. It's easy to say, I'm going to abort a baby I've never seen. It's, I guess, not easy for us, but easy for some people. It's easier. It's certainly easy to say, I'm going to abort a clump of cells. They've been taught that these aren't really human beings. But when they see the person they're thinking of killing, it becomes far harder. Your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasounds. If you've been particularly blessed financially, $5,000 for sponsor ultrasounds for the entire Prevo network of clinics for one whole day. You will help rescue 200 babies. Call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396 or donate online right now at afr.net. One of the lives I'm glad exists is the life of my friend Chris Bray, my favorite Substack writer, chrisbray.substack.com. In the first segment of today, we just did the introduction of our discussion. Chris is a keen observer of California politics. Everybody in the nation can learn about performative politics and obsession with DEI and how it can lead to catastrophes like the fires in and around Los Angeles. You can watch this entire discussion at youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. I want to ask you a real quick response on your assistant LA fire chief. The woman who explains that the primary concern of folks when they are trapped in a fire and their kids are near to burning to death is that you look like they do. So she wants to go rescue heavy, short-haired lesbian women, period, who happen to be black, by the way, but not not men our age who might be trapped in a building because that's our fault. Plus, she's proud that she can't carry us. Is this going to be, Chris, honestly, do you think this is any sort of mental breaking point that might actually have people reflect on their votes? In other words, could this red pill anybody in California?
Oh, that's such, such a whole question. And such a difficult thing to talk about. This assistant fire chief in Los Angeles said, people ask me, could you carry my husband out of a fire? And she said, if your husband is trapped in a fire, he got himself into the wrong place. We had that's maybe 20 years ago at this point, a teenager who committed suicide in Alameda up in Northern California by swimming out into the San Francisco Bay and drowning himself. And people saw him doing it and called 911, and the police department and the fire department came and stood on the beach and watched him drown. And eventually, a woman who was out taking a walk on the beach stripped down to her underwear and swam out and dragged his body in because the fire department and the police department wouldn't do anything about it. And it's, you know, I used to work for local newspapers. I used to cover fire departments. And I can tell you that every firefighter I ever knew would say that the ethic of the fire service is, if you need us, we're coming. It's very, very hard to get to a point where, and I think in these fires that we just had, the problem wasn't that the fire department didn't want to do anything. The problem was that we didn't have enough firefighters, and they were out, you know, frantically. The firefighters who were on duty were out frantically trying to put out fires, but there just weren't enough of them. The ethic of the fire service is, we're going to help you no matter what it takes. No matter how hard it is, we're coming. And so to see someone wearing a fire department uniform saying, You know, don't expect me to carry out of your house. You just shouldn't have gotten yourself there. I think is a replacement of one ethic with a radically different and incompatible ethic.
Yep.
If people can't notice that, we're not going to fix it. Now, the question of whether or not they can notice it, you immediately start getting, I've seen this over and over and over again for years, saw this during COVID, you know, don't be ridiculous. Of course, a mask stops COVID. Of course it does. Anthony Fauci says so. So how can it possibly not be true?
Yep.
You start immediately hearing the phrase conspiracy theory.
Yep.
When you say things like, maybe if they'd had water, they could have fought the fire. That's what you're listening to, these online conspiracy theories. It's such a dramatic and astonishing failure. And Pacific Palisades, I did the math on this, about 5% of the city of Los Angeles, and we lost more than the Palisades. The fire burned a whole bunch of other cities. So we've lost more than 5% of the city of Los Angeles. If you lose an enormous portion of a major American city, does it force you to reconsider? Does it force its way through? How much has to be destroyed before you're willing to say, maybe we should think about this? If your status anxiety and your feelings about, ultimately, if you say the government failed on this, Gavin Newsom failed, Karen Bass failed, Democratic run government in Los Angeles failed and in California failed, it means that you're one of these MAGA people. Maybe you should move to a trailer park and fly over country, right?
Not to mention that
are different than what it actually means in practical terms.
Yeah, not to mention the racism involved. And the racism and the bigotry. And I want to get back, Chris, to infrastructure with you. And the website, by the way, Chris's Substack is chrisbray.substack.com. Again, it's linked in the show notes. And I want to go back to something else you wrote about, which was this nasty warning fire that happened and affected some infrastructure. We'll talk about this with Chris Bray, my very favorite Substack writer. I pay to read his writing. I suggest you do the same thing. He's a journalist we should really, really support and respect. My friend Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer, Bulwark Capital Management, someone I've grown to respect so much so that I gave him a whole boatload of money to steward. I tried to give him all our money, and he said, no, don't do that because I'm a risk management zealot. And what if I have a bad year the year we retire? So balance that out. So he wouldn't let me do that. Any other fund would be like, yeah, well, give me all that plus your kids. So he doesn't play that game, Zach Abraham. He's fanatically focused on risk management. He's also, you hear him on our program once a week, he's a very keen, astute observer of what's happening politically and societally and culturally and spiritually. So that he takes it all into account. He's doing his first live webinar, which is free in 2025. And he's really going to focus on the changes that President Trump's team is going to bring, what might happen to the economy, how the empire is going to strike back, and what this means for your retirement. If you're 5, 10, 15 years from retirement, you really need to make sure that you're calibrated for reality, because I'm here to tell you that many accounts are not. And Zach accomplishes this by actively managing every account, which can reduce risk and volatility so that you have only one retirement. So go get a second opinion. It's free to go to this webinar. It's Thursday, January 30th. Register now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's K-N-O-W, knowyourriskradio.com. Get that second opinion on your retirement. You only get one retirement, so don't put this off. It's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed. Future results, Trek 25-103. Chris Bray is with me. It's chrisbray.substack.com. And Chris, you wrote and took pictures of a very nasty fire that happens under a freeway. And this is shocking to anyone who's ever been in a city like Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle. But it apparently started with a homeless camp and some propane tanks. And people have seen you and others refer to this sort of as a warning fire that, hey, things might get bad. So can you remind us of that circumstance?
if you look at video of the I-10 freeway, there's so much video of this on YouTube, of the I-10 freeway fire in November of 2023. You can watch firefighters spraying streams of water over homeless encampments, over tents, over these makeshift plywood buildings next to the freeway. And there were also illegal storage yards. There were a bunch of junked cars and a bunch of wooden pallets packed tightly underneath the freeway. And so when all of that burned, the rebar in the concrete became unstable. It melted and reformed and became unstable, and they had to rebuild the understructure, the foundation of the freeway, to keep it from collapsing. So the I-10 freeway, the freeway through the middle of Los Angeles, was closed while they built what are called false works. I love that term. Underneath the freeway.
False works. Okay.
And the same two idiots, it's so familiar. Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom stood on that freeway, on that closed freeway, and celebrated the good work they did rebuilding it. They said, what an amazing success. We've done an extraordinary job here, and look how good we are. And I've been watching the press conferences, like the LA County Board of Supervisors and the Los Angeles City Council, with the Fire Department, the Police Department leaders, and the Sheriff's Department leaders, all of these elected officials. And you can always watch my new state senator, always sort of gets her face in the frame behind the mayor. And the theme with the fire burning, with houses burning, the theme of their press conferences was, we're doing an extraordinary job.
No, it wasn't.
Yes. Yes, it
no,
was.
No, they did not. They did that?
Go to Karen Bass's Twitter account. Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles. This actually really fascinates me. She posted a video yesterday where she talks about the scope of the disaster and the pain and the suffering and the grief sweeping through Los Angeles. And she's smiling an enormous, happy, warm smile. And it's captioned. So I've taken a screenshot that says, "Your grief and your agony," underneath the smiling, the beaming face of a happy Mayor Karen Bass. The theme has been, "We're doing a wonderful job." So things just happen, right? Like bad stuff just happens. You can't expect anyone to put out a fire, because it's very obscure how you would do that. And if the reservoir was empty, that's, what does it even mean? But now we're doing a very wonderful job, and it's important that we not blame, and it's important that we not be negative. Now is the time. Karen Bass is very fond of the phrase, link arms. We need to link arms, and we need to stand together. And if you want an example of how ridiculous that can become, while the fires were burning, the California legislature convened a special legislative session.
Everybody stop. Everybody stop. Listen to what Chris Bray's about to tell you. Everybody stop. If you're listening in earbuds, if you're listening live, if you're watching later, if you're on YouTube, you stop and you listen and you look at Chris Bray tell you what happened in a special legislative session. Okay, Chris, sorry for interrupting, but this has to be absolutely clear to people.
At the moment, the biggest city in California was burning with an uncontrolled fire that we couldn't stop. The legislature convened a special legislative session to budget money to stand up to Trump. They created a fund for the Attorney General's office to sue Donald Trump and tie up his agenda in the courts. And then, as the legislative session ended, Gavin Newsom and separately the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors sent letters to Donald Trump inviting him, in a spirit of friendship, to come to the fire zone so that he can help us when he takes office, so that he can help us with fire recovery. So the argument in California is that Donald Trump is literally Adolf Hitler. He's a fascist. He's a bigot. His election is the destruction of democracy. It's the end of our democracy. America is now an autocratic dictatorship, and democracy is dead, and Hitler rules. And also, come be friends with us. We'd like you to come tour our fire area so you can help us. So the rhetorical strangeness of people saying, as the city burns, we're doing a wonderful job, and I'm just so proud of how everyone is linking arms and standing together. And there's nothing, you know, government is extremely important to your life, and government is central, and government is about helping, and also there's nothing we could have done about the fires. And also, we're inviting literally Adolf Hitler to come be our friend and tour our burning city. If you look for any form or degree of logical order or sense or rationality in the discussion that our elected officials and our media, but our media by and large, although there were reporters, local reporters who did not do this, our media by and large is rushing to say, California's well governed, there's nothing anyone could have done about this. There was a reporter who said to Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles, I drove around Pacific Palisades with my crew. We personally watched with our own eyes as hundreds of houses burned, and we did not see a single fire engine. Can you explain what happened? And Karen Bass said, I don't think this is the right time for that conversation.
That was my discussion with my friend Chris Bray, chrisbray.substack.com. It went an entire hour. I learned so much about how performative politics works and what we in some of the more conservative states can do to stop it. You can watch the entire discussion at youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. We'll come back, some sounds from Pam Bondi and her confirmation hearings. We'll do the tire babbling and a personal note. This is The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. The hearing with Pam Bondi, President Trump has nominated to be his attorney general, had a fascinating moment in a couple of different times. And it had to do with election fraud. I know the 2020 election was rigged. Factually and arguably true in my mind. Five states all of a sudden decided to pretend they had stopped counting votes. All of them were pretending. They all, in fact, started to count votes behind closed doors. And incredibly suspicious scenarios came about. None more suspicious than the state of Pennsylvania. In a conversation with Adam Schiff, who is the disgraced senator from California, he first tried to get Pam Bondi to say that she doesn't have the independence to refuse to do an investigation that President Trump might order. For instance, he wanted her to effectively pledge to not investigate Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney, who in all likelihood tampered with witnesses as part of her role with the unconstitutional and deeply, deeply problematic January 6th committee, which, among other things, refused to publish exculpatory evidence that showed that President Trump wanted National Guard troops protecting the Capitol. They erased records, in other words, destroyed evidence. And Liz Cheney, in an exchange of text messages, tampered with the witness who pretended that President Trump leapt over his seat and tried to seize the steering wheel of the presidential limousine. When Pam Bondi would not pledge to not investigate that, Adam Schiff acted as this was some occasion where she simply didn't have the independence to do that. He was trying to goad her, and she didn't have any of it. He also asked her about a pledge. Will you say to President Trump that there was no widespread fraud in the election of 2020? This is part of that exchange.
And answer the question, let me ask you a different, what should be a simple truth, not a hard one. Was there massive fraud affecting the result of the 2020 election, yes or no?
Senator, I'm glad you asked that question, if you'll let me answer what I saw in Pennsylvania.
No, I asked a simple question about massive fraud.
I can only tell you massive, what I saw
Pennsylvania. I know you want to answer a different question, but my question is, can you tell us whether there was massive fraud affecting the results of the 2020 election? Yes or no? Was there or was there not?
I can tell you what I saw when I went as an advocate to the campaign.
That's not my question. So you can't answer that question. You can't speak that even easy truth to us, let alone to the president.
So, of course, Schiff is going to try to run over her. And he cannot allow that evidence to be aired. Senator Padilla, after trying to get Pam Bondi to engage in the 14th Amendment, Senator Padilla had a very similar question. He begins by trying to get her to address immigration and voting rights and birthright citizenship.
Your job will be, I'm speaking, your job will be to protect voters and election workers, not to undermine and dox them. Now, I know that earlier you agreed that Joe Biden is, in fact, president, but many of the president-elect's inner circle continue to spread the big lie about the
20. So he's reading from notes here. Senator Padilla, of course, reading from notes prepared by his staff.
The 20 election. Then we'll move on to a different topic.
Senator, you were speaking. May I speak? You cut me off when I was speaking.
I want to ask you the next question. You can speak, and I hope you answer, Ms. Bondi.
Well, I'd like to answer the previous one, Senator.
When we met yesterday,
you pointed your finger at me and said you were speaking.
You did not seem to be familiar with the
Citizenship Clause, the 14th Amendment of the United States of America. I'm not going to be bullied by you, Senator Padilla.
Which was deeply disappointing.
I guess you didn't want to hear my answer about Pennsylvania.
Did you hear that? Pam Bondi, I guess you didn't want to hear my answer about Pennsylvania. Democrats cannot allow Pam Bondi to speak about what she saw in Pennsylvania because it's very similar to what others saw in Georgia and Wisconsin and Arizona. I know the election was rigged. I am 99% certain it was stolen. And that's a debate, a discussion I'd be willing to have with anybody, including Senator Padilla or Senator Schiff. On this program, as frustrating as it can be, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand, wise people like Padilla and Schiff. We thank the Lord in our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouted questions. I understand, John. I understand. I have dealt with this question about three times already. I understand.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling, beginning with Gavin Newsom, the dictator of California, who may well face another recall. Of course, they'll do everything they can to cheat to keep him in office. Gavin Newsom. I keep getting sick. It does. It sickens me. I was going to call him a belly crawler, but God help me, I'm not supposed to do that. Gavin Newsom went on live TV during the fires, and here was his focus.
I'd like the President of the United States, at least the President-elect, to come and visit. The people out here, his lives have been completely torn apart. I want him to visit and understand the magnitude of the scope, what happened to the American people that happen to reside here in California. And that's with an open hand, not a closed fist. And I'm not interested in politicizing an event.
That's just an open hand, not a closed fist. His focus during the... You heard the sirens in the background. He wanted Trump to come and visit. Joe Biden flew out there, but not for the fires. He was flown out there for his great grandkid's birth. Phenomenal. And again, I'm trying not to call him a belly crawler because that would be like calling him the snake in the garden. Of which he reminds me. I just have to be honest. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, back to Adam Schiff. We just talked about Adam Schiff, who didn't want to hear Pam Bondi answer a question about vote fraud, just simply wanted her to say there wasn't any. Adam Schiff told a direct lie to the nation about California and the state of their reservoirs.
But my initial understanding is the reservoirs that the Palisades were drawing on, these 3 million gallon reservoirs, were full at the initiation of these fires. But they're intended, frankly, they have the capacity to put out homes that may be a house, multiple houses, not if the whole town is up in flames, and most particularly not if the winds are so strong that aircraft can't fly.
You didn't have airplanes. There were no airplanes. You had to borrow them from Canada. The reservoir that was empty, well, most of them were, The Palisades Reservoir held 117 million gallons of water. Instead, firefighters had 3 million. Breathtaking that he's willing to lie that way and still get elected. Last up in today's Tower Babbling, there are liberals calling for something on Monday. Monday being the inauguration day. You can hear President Trump's inauguration speech here live on AFR during this time period. Here's what liberals are calling for.
Sorry, I cannot support an insurrectionist. I just can't. And I would really love to see Democrats and independents do an insurrection on Donald Trump.
All right.
That's coming from the Washington Journal and C-SPAN. Incidentally, they allowed that phone call to air. I can tell you that they've got a tape delay method. They didn't need to allow it to air, but they chose to. You know, platforming people. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I got a fascinating note from Elizabeth writing from New Orleans, and she wrote to me on the topic of addiction. And I've talked a bit about addiction to pharmaceuticals and a nation that is about 90 million Americans are on some form of psychotropic, thereby some measures. I think it's young people under the age of 20, I believe, about 80% of them are on some form of psychotropic drug, being an antidepressant, so-called. And I've talked at length about the fact that so many of the studies about antidepressants were fake. Turns out there is no serotonin reuptake problem, etc. But I've talked as well about addiction to illegal drugs and addiction to porn and young men being addicted to that, which is very much like a drug, feeds the mind in the same way. And Elizabeth writes this. Dear Todd, I listen on AFR.net. I love your show, Disciples View. Several weeks ago, you were talking about the topic of addiction. Generally speaking, when you address a topic, it seems like you have some personal experience with it. And I regarded that conversation as a little bit pandering. I'm a recovered addict, and I consider myself recovered. We're taught to say we're always an addict. Once an addict, always an addict. Through the grace of the Lord Jesus, I am no longer addicted, therefore I am not an addict. I'm a child of God who's gone through addiction. I would ask you the next time you speak about addiction to make sure that you mention that you've not struggled with that. I only say this because I think it's important that addicts speak to addicts. I'm not saying don't make commentary on it, but please mention that. Love your program, and I'm deeply thankful for AFR and all the hosts there. Elizabeth, New Orleans. Elizabeth, thank you so much for the note. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you are a partner of AFR. I hope that you are a monthly donor. There was AFR.net. And your note's a good one. I have been an addict. I don't believe I ever told this audience about my addiction. I was addicted to fast food. And there are people who say, well, that's not a real addiction. I'm here to tell you it is. It has the same kinds of effects on the mind because fast food is chemically based. If you take any big fast food company, and I know this because I was in the Taco Bell test kitchen in Burbank, California, and I saw on their whiteboard in their test kitchen, I saw all these chemical equations. I said, that's really curious. What is that? And the lady said, oh, that's where our food chemists do their work. Their food chemist's job is to make sure that their so-called food has the right mix of salts, fats, and sugars to accomplish what they're seeking. It's not to fill you up. It's not to provide nutrition to your body. It's to thrill the pleasure centers, dopamine and serotonin, and to give you an insulin high. Because insulin highs feel good, and you want more of it. That's what you chase. So here's how addicted I was when I weighed almost 400 pounds. Is I would pull up to a McDonald's on the way home. I would purchase 2 quarter pounders with cheese, a French fry, usually a Diet Coke, sometimes a filet-o-fish sandwich. I would proceed to eat that in the next 10 minutes, hide the bags, and pull into the next McDonald's and do it again. And when God revealed to me through seeing myself on television how I had abused my body, how unrecognizable I was, again, nearly 400 pounds. As I speak to you today, I weigh about 208 pounds and 9% body fat. That's not right. 9.9% body fat. And when he revealed to me how I'd just gotten out of hand, I learned about food addiction. I learned about that insulin hit. I was an addict. I was hiding it. It was affecting my life. I would leave work to go get this garbage. And I also remember this. When I gave in, a couple years ago, I read an article that said if you're busy and need nutrition and you don't have time, the best fast food macrobiotic you could eat is the cheeseburger, double cheeseburger at McDonald's. 40% protein, 30% fat, 30% carbohydrates. I stopped and I got some. And the next day I got another and another. And about 5 days into that, I realized I was already gaining weight from simply eating that. When we in our lives turn our pleasure centers over to the world, they're going to take advantage of it. If you go past eating from food that tastes incredible, it's whole foods, it's prepared with love, it's at least prepared with some nutrition in mind, and you cross over into the fast hit, you are giving the world an opportunity to tweak your pleasure centers. It's very much the same thing with pornography. Very much the same thing with the addiction of emotional affairs. Very much the same thing with addiction to video games. They're all an attempt to find satisfaction in ways we were not designed to have that satisfaction. It's trying to build heaven, in my case, one bite at a time. So, Elizabeth, I appreciate the note. I have been an addict, and I'm embarrassed by it. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak His Word. Because He first loved us, we walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God decides we can all speak again together, may His peace, which transcends understanding, rest upon you and your families. I'm Todd Herman. On behalf of Randy and AFR, this has been A Disciple's View. Do you love me?